This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the channel. Hope you're all keeping well, and welcome back to another edition of the Spurs Chat podcast, where, of course, in this edition, we'll be talking about Tottenham's trip to the London Stadium. West Ham United 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1. Of course, Brennan Johnson put Spurs 1-0 up after only 5 minutes, and then Zouma equalised in the 19th minute. Now, we are live on YouTube, on X and on Facebook, so please do get involved. Give us all of your thoughts on this evening's game. Spurs remain fifth in the Premier League. We have now played exactly the same amount of games as Aston Villa in fourth. We have 57 points. Villa in fourth have 59. Now, the stats from the game: West Ham had 32% possession to Tottenham's 68%. Shots, West Ham had 11 to Tottenham's 13. Shots on target, 4 apiece. Corners, West Ham had 9 to Tottenham's 5. Fouls, West Ham had 13 to Tottenham's 9. As usual, I have three very special guests. Back with us is Richard Whitehead, MBE. Rich, how are you, mate?
All good. All good after the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where I made a little bit of a guest appearance on this pitch and obviously on the podcast as well. But no, all good, mate, all good. As always, happy to be here, whatever the result.
Lovely to have you here. And also back with us, it's been too long, Josh Hughes from the Daily Mail. Josh, how are you?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, it's just a typical Tottenham week, isn't it? Obviously delighted to be back on the channel. As Richard says, you know, whatever the result. But yeah, I think tonight certainly summed up what it's like to be a Spurs fan on a weekly basis.
Well, lovely to have you here, Josh. And also back with us, channel regular Becky Day. Becky, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. We did draw, didn't we? We didn't lose. It wasn't like, you know, a disaster. But yeah, thanks for having me on. Can't wait to get into it.
Let me just say, sorry for any background noise. I'm literally right outside the London Stadium. Police horses are going by. So if you can hear any background noise, I apologise. Rich, let's come to you first of all. Your thoughts on the game. A fair result for you?
Oh, my goodness. I think it was a little bit of a missed opportunity, to be honest. I think, obviously, first half or first like 10 minutes, I thought we kind of went after the game. Really shown intent. I think for me it was more. I've got a bit of a disappointment with the lineup to start with, to be honest. And I think the disappointment of a couple of players that Josh before we started mentioned one of them. I think for me we should have turned West Ham over today. And I just think in certain areas of the pitch we had lots of ball, but we didn't create enough. We didn't create enough for me, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Josh, let's come to you. Let's get your thoughts on this evening's game. West Ham United 1, Spurs 1. A missed opportunity to go back in the top four.
Yeah, I think it was Jim Brenter in the comments that put unsatisfying, and that really sums it up. It was, I think, as Richard said, a missed opportunity against a very poor West Ham side. And it was the same old problem. Spurs struggling to break down a team that put lots of men behind the ball, and then weak once again from set pieces with our zonal marking system. It was one of those where I actually thought the performance level wasn't horrendous. I thought Bissouma and Brennan Johnson were particular standouts today. I thought it was a real difference having Mickey van de Ven back in the side as well. And I think Romero's game raised as a result of playing back with Mickey. But it was that same old problem in the final third, lack of cutting edge, final ball not there. And when the final ball was there, I would say probably 9 times out of 10 from Brennan Johnson, we didn't have a striker to attack the ball or even give us a chance of working the goalkeeper. And I think the stats that you just showed a minute ago, 13 shots, 4 on target, kind of sums it up. I expected a lot more from us off the back of Luton, which was a difficult game. I knew it would be tough tonight, but yeah, we seem to have a problem at the London Stadium.
Josh, what have you made of the last couple of weeks? I know, of course, we've had international duty as well, but to go to Aston Villa, to win there so convincingly, probably our best performance of the season, and then the very next week to lose at Fulham, we scraped a win against Luton, it's fair to say, on Saturday. And then, of course, we've come here, you know, drawing 1-1. If we want Champions League, you know, these next few games are absolutely vital.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I was saying, you know, going into this sort of end of season run, that we need to be getting maximum points from all the games aside from Arsenal, City, Liverpool, you know, where it's going to decide the season. We need to be guaranteeing Champions League football without thinking about those games and let those be bonuses. And we've, you know, been pretty turgid, to be honest. Obviously, Villa was a brilliant second half and Villa were really poor. But, you know, I think what really sums us up as a team is the fact that when one or two of our key players aren't on it, that really does affect the whole performance and the outcome of games. Son being, you know, probably public enemy number one for that. You know, I think he put in, I would say, his second worst performance of the season tonight, the first being at Fulham. And, you know, a player like Kulusevski, you know, in the last few weeks has just been absolutely nowhere. And he comes on in the 10, his favoured position. He's been so vocal about that. And he had zero impact on the game. And I didn't think that I'd be saying that Pierre-Emile Højbjerg probably had a greater impact in the 10 minutes that he was on the pitch in a defensive midfield role and an attacking sense in terms of urgency and trying to move the ball forward than most of the other players. But, you know, I think when you look at how we started the season, for example, we seem to have everyone on form at the same time. And now we're really struggling with that. There always seems to be at least two or three players every single game who are just miles off it and nowhere near the level required. And I think Ange Postecoglou's comments in his press conference, you know, shows that he really sees these problems at the club. I mean, him talking about, you know, wanting to challenge next season just highlights, you know, some of the issues and the summer that we need to have. But yeah, it's been really quite poor, to be honest. And more poor, not for the sense that we are playing really badly or anything, but more every game where we're dropping points, you're looking at that and thinking we were the better team. We were playing against a poor opposition. We should have put the game to bed. And that seems to be the tale of our season.
Becky, let's come to you. Let's get your thoughts on today's game and what Josh just said there. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. But like I said at the top of the show, reading kind of comments from people and talking to a lot of people this morning and this afternoon, they were quite concerned about the game. They were worried that we were going to go there and get a kind of hiding. So that's why I said at the top of the show that, you know, we did get a point. The thing that was disappointing for me is we made some changes, which I was quite pleased about. We kind of assumed that Van de Ven would come in for Dragosin. He dropped Kulusevski to the bench. Johnson started. It was just after getting the goal so early in a very typical Spurs-like goal, we didn't kick on from it. And that was the thing that was disappointing, really. And kind of, you know, West Ham kind of grew into the game. And, you know, I think people say it's not reactionary, but I think when we don't get the 3 points we want, there are always players that are kind of, you know, are picked on for whatever reason. But for me, it was set pieces. I think in the first half, we just felt like every time West Ham had a corner, they were going to score. And that was disappointing. I think we've got to get better at corners and set pieces. And then that isn't quite such a threat. And I think then, you know, those kind of so-called worser teams, we can kind of kick on from. That was just for me, really. I was just a bit disappointed that we made such a good start and it looked so lively. And after not scoring the first half for so long, it just, you know, like I said, West Ham grew into the game. And they'll argue that, you know, Ange probably will say that, you know, West Ham didn't have many chances and they had that one at the end, didn't they? That kind of when Maddison was fouled and then Antonio's through on. But really, West Ham didn't do a great deal. However, it's just like I said, it does feel like a bit like 2 points dropped. However, this morning, you know, I'd have taken a draw.
Bridge, let's come to you. It sounds like from what you said so far that you were a bit surprised by the lineup that Ange went with. And I must say that I think it's very, very hard right now as a Spurs fan to try and predict what team Ange Postecoglou is going to put out against any opposition. Of course, he made three changes tonight. Van de Ven, Johnson, Bentancur and Dragushin, Kulusevski and Saar all dropped to the bench. The team was as follows. Vicario in goal, the back four of Porro, Romero, Van de Ven, Udogie, and then Basuma, Bentancur, Maddison, and then the front three of Johnson, Werner and Son. If I was to ask you, Rich, who are the best three in midfield for you?
I would say Maddison, Saar, Bentancur. That would be my three. I'm a big Saar fan. I think he offers a lot of energy in the team. I think he's got a great cross in him. Obviously, came on and he put that great ball into the box where nobody was on that. And alluding to what Josh was saying about having somebody on the end of those balls, I think for me, Werner, like I was critical of him against Luton, pathetic performance today. Like, apart from the one thing that he does in every game, which is cut the ball back for a hopeful like knock-in, which obviously he did today. But apart from that useless like passing, you watch how many times he gave that ball away. And also, like, didn't kind of forcefully go in for the ball. The ball crossed, I think, I can't remember what minute it was, but he could have got his head in there. It came past Zuma. Any touch and we would have scored. Time after time, very lightweight. I know a lot of people say that sometimes Sonny is a bit lightweight. He is so bad. Like, 15 minutes. Probably about five or six games ago, I was going, well, 15 million if we do sign him, maybe it's good business. No, thank you, not for me. I think they'd be a step backwards. Unless Ange sees something that I'm not seeing, he's a liability. When I was watching the Luton game, there was five or six opportunities that fellow midfielders had to pass in the ball and they deliberately chose not to. Not because there was no space, because it was him. I am telling you. That's how much confidence they've got in it at the moment. So he, for me, him being in the team really does kind of keep us down to 10 men and not 11 men. And also, I think when you look at the team with Werner and Sonny there, I think you need somebody else a little bit more dynamic. I think we've got that one kind of play when he kind of cuts in and cuts the ball back. But that's it, nothing else. He doesn't shoot either. Doesn't shoot. I'd just love him to just kind of just have a shot.
I think it's fair to say, Rich, from my point of view, I think that Timo Werner does get a little bit better every game under Ange Postecoglou. I think he has got a better week by week, game by game.
You've seen it from the stands, mate. Today, useless. I saw it literally from the skywalk. That's how high I was watching against Luton. and I saw useless. I saw absolutely useless. And everybody don't get me wrong,
Rich. I think there's a lot more to come from him. But as Anne said, when we signed him, you know, had he have been a world class player, he wouldn't be at the football club anyway.
Useless.
I'll come to you on this in a sec, Josh. Majestic. You know, everyone on the show and on the podcast is a big fan of what Majestic does. He's written a comment here: West Ham anti-football, modern day Wimbledon. Josh, is that fair?
I think it's a bit harsh. I think you could call every team that against us. I actually feel for David Moyes a little bit, because I think he's doing a brilliant job at West Ham, and I think he's such a scapegoated manager.
But there are so many West Ham fans, Josh, at the moment, not happy with the way that they're playing.
I think they don't realise how good they've got it, because they really are a mid-table side, and he's won them a European Cup. He's guided them already to a better season than they had last season, with lots of games still to go. And, you know, realistically, they don't have the financial resources or any of it, really, the commercial value, all of that sort of stuff, to really be in and amongst the big six, for me. So I think they're doing as well as they can. I mean, look at some of the players they're signing: Paqueta, Kudus, etc. You know, they are signing good players. So, I think it's a bit harsh. I thought they were very, you know, defensively solid. I agree with a lot of what Rich said about Werner. But I think it's a little bit harsh, because, yes, he was hopeless in spells, He really was. But, they're just showing the assist now. It was real quality from him. And I think that we are seeing flashes of brilliance from him, but also flashes of absolute rubbish from him as well. Look, at 15 million, I buy him. But for me, he should be a backup. We should be going and buying someone like Nico Williams as well for £43 million as a starter. I think that is what we need to be doing if we want to get Champions League football. If we are in the Champions League, you know, I actually looked at some stats, Werner versus Son, in European competitions. And what I actually found was, I think it's Son has played 80 games, 29 goals, 12 assists, and Werner has played 55. He scored 21 with 10 assists. He's won a Champions League. Son's won nothing. The only accolade that Son's got in Europe is getting the best set piece goal in the Champions League in 14-15 season. So actually, as much as we can criticize him, I think if we can sign him as a backup option and allow Ange to keep working with him, that's the type of player I think is actually pretty good to have as an option. I get the sentiment in that, you know, he can't finish his dinner. There's things he needs to work on. But I'm also kind of, maybe I'm being a bit crazy, but I'm having a bit of patience with him, because he's had such a tough time in his career and he's been trying to turn it around. And, you know, actually, 3 assists, 2 goals in 9 games is not an awful return for Spurs, is it? It's not an awful return at all.
Let me read this comment here from Hotspur Sam, and it's exactly what I was saying tonight in the stands. Fabianski, easiest game as a professional goalkeeper, because we just did not test the goalkeeper this evening. Becky, let me come to you. I'm going to go straight in on the match instance from the game. 5 minutes in, Spurs go 1-0 up. What a fantastic assist by Timo Werner, and finished by Brennan Johnson. That's just for you, Rich.
And I said to Jack, who's watching it with me here, we scored 9, 10, 11 goals like that this season. Like, that one reminded me of the one at Wolves away.
Yeah.
Is that Johnson's there and Son's not there, but there's always somebody on the end of it. And that's why I think, kind of, you know, listening to there about Fabianski, is that we've talked about this in games where we've not kind of pushed on this season, where we just haven't been shooting enough. And I think when it works, it's amazing. When it's quick and the intensity is there, it just looks fantastic. I do think that maybe compared to the Luton game, I know there's been a quick turnaround. Porro and Udogie seem far more involved today than they did at Luton. But yeah, to kind of, you know, Werner, we've got that situation where the ball comes over and there's someone in the middle, whoever it is, and it's there. It's like I said before, it's just a shame we just didn't kind of play like that more. With having Kulusevski changing and Johnson starting, you know, I thought Werner had, he was a little bit more involved in the first half and Johnson was more involved in the second half. But yeah, I agree with what was kind of said before there. I think when once Madison and Bentancur came off, it kind of felt like the creativity kind of went there, really. And I agree that Kulusevski didn't have exactly the impact that he would have hoped, particularly if he's saying that's his preferred position. I think that, you know, had there not been kind of, you know, Bentancur and Madison going off, the intensity, we could have probably eventually got there. You know, there's been times before where, you know, we knew that West Ham would raise their game. You know, they've got the counter-attack breaks, you know, Bowen and Antonio, but they were for the taking and they didn't. And that comes down to the kind of the lack of shooting. But yeah, going back to what you said, like I said at the top of the show, you know, it was a great start. It was just a shame we didn't kind of kick on from that, really. And that's a disappointing thing. Just kind of sitting there reading the comments and listening to what everyone's saying and looking at the comments on X as well is, like I said, you know, they didn't have a great deal to do, and maybe they're the games where it feels like it's 2 points dropped. You know, are we going to have easier games against the so-called, you know, higher teams? Because otherwise we're now at a situation where we're 2 points behind Villa, haven't played the same games. It feels like a bit of a disappointing, you know, sitting here listening, really.
I feel like before we go any further, I've got to ask all three of you, Timo Werner for £15 million, yes or no? Rich, I think, yeah. I know your answer.
No, not for me.
It's all gone quiet.
Yeah, not for me, mate. Maybe a pint of beer and a packet of pork scratchings, maybe, but no, not 15 million, not for me.
I agree with what Josh said. It's that kind of European experience that I think will work really well next year. You know, we've talked a lot this season about we're playing the fewest games we've played for many a season and we're struggling. But those games are going to come thick and fast next year. I think having his experience in Europe, Lo Celso's possibly, if Lo Celso stays, over people like Hill, I just don't think it's a lot of money for what, you know, for someone who would possibly come on as a sub.
What about you, Josh?
Yeah, that's it for me. You know, do we really want to be relying on Brian Hill and Manor always injured Solomon? I don't think so. 15 million, what's that going to get you? It's going to probably get you a championship player with no Premier League experience, no European experience. You might get, you know, a Grenada international if you're lucky. You know, for that price, it's a no-brainer for me. But as I will consistently say, we have to go and get the long-term Son replacement this summer as well. And for me, that's Nico Williams, £43 million release clause. Lots of teams will want him. But if you go and pay the big bucks, this is a Spain international, 21 years old, you know, that is the answer for me. And for me, £43 million is, you know, that's cheaper than Brennan Johnson. I don't think that counts in the superstar realm and kind of wishful fantasy thinking in terms of Daniel Levy. So that's what you've got to do. And overall, then you've got, for less than £60 million, you've got a player with great European experience who's quick and, you know, can get an assist or the odd goal here and there. And then you bring in someone who is arguably the hottest young prospect in that left wing position in Europe at the moment. I think it's a no-brainer.
Bridge, let's come back to you. After 9 minutes, Pedro Porro had a shot on goal, which went very, very close, just wide. 4 minutes later, Son had a shot on target. And I actually wrote down, Timo Werner actually won the ball back through great pressing, which, of course, Ange Postecoglou expects from every single player in the team, particularly the attacking players. Son, of course, made his 400th appearance in a Tottenham Hotspur shirt this evening against West Ham. What did you make of Sonny's appearance today? What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I thought he was a little bit flat. I thought he just looked knackered. I thought he looked like he was very fatigued from the game before. I think he didn't, when Madison went off, it did nothing after that. And also, I think when Sonny plays best, he's always moving. He's always trying to find space. I think he's very static. I think he got man marked out of the game, really. I think the defence really handled Sonny really well today. It was disappointing. I was expecting him to really lead from the front. And I think sometimes he gets lost within the game. And then also when obviously Vicario's going long to try and feed Sonny as well, he hasn't got the physical presence to be able to hold up that ball or to try and have an impact on his own up there. So, yeah, really disappointed. I think Sonny will be quite disappointed with his performance overall. I think the first like I say, 10 minutes, I think everybody kind of was doing their jobs right. Obviously, Poro and Doggy kind of really caused problems in midfield. And we overloaded the midfield because those guys were coming in and West Ham didn't know how to contain us. And then, like Becky was saying, I think set piece wise, we got undone again. And I think we would have pushed. I think if they wouldn't have scored at that point, I think we might have pushed on. But yeah, Sonny, disappointing today.
Josh, let's come to you on Heung-min Son, because many people have said it in the comments, and I even said it during the game as well, that you know, you felt that Heung-min Son needs to shoot a lot more. You know, we're so used to seeing him shooting from 20, 30 yards, but he hasn't really done that in the last couple of games. Why not?
I'm not really sure. I felt like there was zero presence from him today. You know, there's no physicality. He seems to, you know, he's still pretty quick, but he's not as quick as he once was. The times when he needed to drop into sort of wide areas, a great example of this being actually Brennan Johnson in the first half went on the counter-attack. Son decides to just sprint miles offside rather than drop into a sort of wide position where he could receive the ball and maybe play a 1-2. That's what top strikers do. Harry Kane does that all the time, for example. And then when balls were going into the box, he wasn't trying to attack it. I have no idea. And then there were three or four moments, as you've alluded to, you know, edge of the box, left foot, right foot, you'd back him, you know, any time if he was going to have a shot from the bare minimum, he's going to work the goalkeeper, you know. And I don't know what it is, whether his confidence was shot, but something I think that needs to be addressed is the fact that this is our club captain. And we really need to be asking the question, why is he the club captain? And I think it might seem harsh, but I'm genuinely sat there and I've thought about this all season, seeing him with the armband. And I really struggle to see where he's leading the team on the pitch.
Really?
I really do. I think he's been an amazing player for us. He's been an amazing player for us. But when things aren't quite going right, he is the star man. He's the poster boy. He's the one that should be, you know, more determined than anyone to have that.
It's a team effort, though, Josh. It's a team effort. You can't just blame the captain every time something goes wrong. It's like everyone else needs to step up as well.
And you've had me on your show many times where I've put the blame on lots of different players. But in these moments where the game needs someone to make a difference, and I'll give him his props, he was in the right place at the right time against Luton and did it. Tonight, he didn't do it. And that's what a captain does. Harry Kane, you would expect, in most of those games where we couldn't get a goal or it was like that, he would have a shot from 30 yards. Eriksen used to do it for us as well. Gareth Bale used to do it. There would be that one player that would have that moment of magic that would make a difference for us in a game. And many, many games this season where Son's had the opportunity to shoot and he's got the quality, he doesn't do it. And you've got to ask why. He's the captain. He's a brilliant player. He's got all the ability in the world. So why aren't we seeing a player of that quality be a little bit selfish at times and take matters into his own hands and think, do you know what? I've got the ball here. I back myself, left foot, right foot, you know, to have a go because no one else is shooting. So I'm going to have a go. And he didn't. We had, you know, probably the biggest chance in the second half that we had was Udogie right at the end on his weak foot. And I think that speaks volumes.
Josh, you sent the comments section going absolutely wild. I think half the comments actually agree with you and half don't agree. But of course, that's what, you know, that's the reasons why we do these shows.
Controversial.
We've all got different opinions. We've all got different opinions, and we respect everyone's opinion. Becky, let's come to you. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Heung-min Son playing 400 games for Spurs. And of course, he is now our fifth all-time record goal scorer at the football club. What have you made of Heung-min Son over the years of playing for Tottenham? And do you see him as a leader at the club right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've scored 15 goals this season. It's his third out of four seasons where he's got that amount or more. So I think I can already hear my WhatsApp group saying very similar to what Josh said. They don't feel that he steps up when we don't play well. But I think it's a team sport. And I think it's this idea that Kane used to have this. You know, we were lucky Kane could literally score from anywhere. But there were many games where Kane kind of dug us out. I think he is a leader. I think he is there to bring the young players on and to give them the confidence. I think, you know, when he's playing up front and he isn't getting the service, then it isn't always easy. I think, say he'd been playing out on the left today and Richarlison had been up front and it'd been 1-1, I think a lot of people would have said exactly the same thing about Richarlison. I think it's tricky in the position that you're in when if you're not getting the service and the balls aren't coming into you. I think it's a situation where Sonny's brilliant when he's brilliant and then he's not when he's not. And I think for me, his status, as you said, is being fifth goal scorer. The fact that he commits himself to the club when there's rumours, he tells you as it is and what's going on. There's no kind of conjecture. I think we are a poorer side if he's not in it. And then, you know, it'll be a sad day when he's not in the starting lineup for me in every match. But equally, I'm not going to stand here and say he's had a brilliant game. We said this at Fulham. When they were poor at Fulham, they were all poor. I think, you know, he's on the end of the Johnson and the Werner cross today, and then we're saying Sonny's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? I think it tends to be when he doesn't score that he tends to get the flak. But yeah, I think I agree with some of the comments of people saying that he's not maybe shooting enough. But I just think he was fatigued. I think, you know, that's not an excuse. While you've been talking, gone in and looked at the other scores. You know, Forest were the only team that won. The rest of the games were all draws. So, you know, possibly it is that. And again, maybe I'm making excuses for him. But he's my favourite player. And, you know, like I said, it'll be a sad day when he's not playing.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Sonny as well. I also think Sonny is a completely different player than Harry Kane. We haven't replaced Harry Kane in the team. And obviously the partnership that Harry and Sonny had, obviously the most prolific in Premier League history. If you're not going to replace that, or Richarlison's that replacement, it's going to affect Sonny's game. I believe he's sometimes trying to overplay situations. He's trying to do too much. Also, he does so much running off the ball, and it's like incredible how much pressing he does. You cannot do that on a Sunday and then on a Tuesday. You cannot do it without fatigue. I'm a professional athlete. I know how fatigue affects not only physically but also mentally part of your game. And I see that. I can see how his shoulders drop, his body demeanour is completely different when he's fatigued. And that's why the other season I knew that he was carrying an injury.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Josh, is it fair to say when we don't win games, you're always going to blame, not just you, I mean the fan base, when I say you, the fan base, is it always going to be difficult for, or the centre forward, you know, the guy playing through the centre, is it always going to, are they always going to be blamed by not scoring enough goals? Because, of course, when you've had Harry Kane at the club for so many years and, you know, the amount of goals he scored, the amount of chances he put away, you know, Richarlison got criticism earlier on in the season when he was playing the middle and not scoring goals. When Son don't score goals in games like this, is that where your criticism is being aimed at, him not scoring?
Not at all. I think I need to clarify what I'm saying about Son, by the way, because I see the comments are still going wild about it. I'm not saying that him not scoring from 30 yards or him not shooting or, you know, that's why I'm questioning. And I am just questioning, why is he the club captain? I'm not saying he shouldn't be. I'm just questioning it because I think I've got probably a bit of an, I know I might be young, but I've probably got a bit of an old school opinion of what a captain should be. And I look at how Harry Kane led by example, not just being a nice guy that signs autographs, but leading by example on the pitch. And Son, for many years, has been, you know, there's not enough words to describe how good he's been for the football club. You know, being the fifth top goal scorer speaks for itself, you know, being at the club for a decade. But time and time again, I just find with Son that when things do go badly for the team or things do get tough, I'm looking at his body language and I'm looking at how he's addressing the players, and I'm not seeing I hold my hands up. I might be, you know, skewed in my view because Harry Kane was such an excellent captain, and you know, I watched players like Ledley King who were great captains as well, and Michael Dawson. But I just see it looks like the players are a little bit lost when things don't go well. I think you're right. Fans do like to scapegoat people, and there is emotion to it, and there is, you know, being reactive. I don't think it should always be the centre forward. I think that there were several players today that weren't good enough, and I think it's fair that we can say at the end of a game, you know, that each player that didn't play their part didn't play their part, or each player that played well did play well. But, you know, and people saying, you know, Kane was never captain, but he effectively was, because he was the one that was talking to the referee. He was one of the senior players. He was in all but name captain. He may not have worn the armband because Lloris was technically the club captain. But when you actually watch how he played, he was the one that was doing it. And he's also the England captain. He was the one that was, you know, taking that responsibility. He was the one often going in front of the cameras and speaking and, you know, talking to the ref. So, you know, even though he doesn't have, you know, the armband on per se for Spurs, it doesn't mean he's not acting as the captain or the captain in all but name. But yeah, I think it's one of those. I'm not saying Son shouldn't be the captain at all, by the way. I'm just questioning, why is he actually captain? Is it because of legacy? Is it, you know, or is it because, you know, behind closed doors, the way he addresses players and the way that he deals with it is really good. And it's just a completely different leadership style that perhaps I'm not used to seeing. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say he's a bad captain or anything like that. I'm just asking the question.
Josh, lots of people have written in the comments, who do you want to see as captain if it wasn't Heung-min Son?
I really like Romero as captain, personally. I think that could be a key thing to calm him down a little bit. I mean, his discipline's been much better. Maybe that's an old school opinion of mine. I like a centre-back as captain. But I really like Romero. I think that Maddison has a lot of great leadership qualities. You know, to be fair, I think I can see leadership qualities in players like Pedro Porro and Mickey van der Ven as well. I think right now, personally, I think Son is rightly the captain, because I think he's the most experienced player there, and I think that makes a lot of sense now. But I think pretty soon Son may not be at the football club. He's going to be 32 at the start of next season, so I think, you know, as it stands now, I'm happy with how it is. I'm not saying he shouldn't be captain, as I keep saying, but it was just something that I'm questioning, because he has a slightly different leadership style to perhaps what I'd expect from a captain. That's all.
Do you know one thing I find a little bit strange? I think all three of you have mentioned it on this podcast so far about tiredness. You've all mentioned that word about being tired. Now, at the end of this season, we would have played 41 competitive games, 38 in the Premier League, one in the League Cup and two in the FA Cup. And said earlier on in the season, it was easier for his Celtic side, you know, managing Celtic when they were playing like 60 games a season. How on earth would we have coped this season if we'd have played more than the 41 games that we would have played? I find it incredible that, you know, players are tired when we're playing 41 games in a season. Becky, do you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, but I think, to be fair, I think it's because we've had a lot of injuries this season and that kind of idea to rotate has not been as possible. And I think also, like, players that haven't had, like even Werner, for example, you know, Van de Ven came in quite late, having a kind of pre-season to get that kind of fitness level up. I do think as well, sometimes you can kind of overtrain. I've read lots of things this week about, you know, I said last week, you want the games to come thick and fast, because if a result hasn't been great, you can then turn it around quickly. We seem to, this season, being poor when we've gone into international breaks or when we've had like a weekend off for the FA Cup and things. So I think you do, the more kind of match prepared as opposed to training prepared, I think does help. But yeah, I think it comes down to the amount of injuries. I think had there not been as many, and equally having that kind of that squad depth to kind of draw on. Someone tweeted earlier to me to say that they felt this was the strongest bench we'd had all season. And he did use, you know, a lot of subs today. And although I felt, like I said, you know, there was a drop off after Maddison and Bentancur went off. You know, you could see Lo Celso, Højbjerg, I agree with Josh. I think Højbjerg played amazingly. You know, Kulusevski came on. There was that possibility to make those changes. But I think it is possibly down to the injuries. But I just think playing games makes, you know, keeps that fitness up, doesn't it? Games do.
Becky, I can completely agree with you on the strength on the bench. But do we have enough game changers on the bench?
I was disappointed today after when Bentancur and Lo Celso came on against Luton. And then Johnson, you know, they were kind of game changers, weren't they? I thought... Lo Celso was very lively on Saturday and Bentancur. So I was pleased to see Bentancur kept his place. But yeah, Lo Celso didn't really have enough game time today. I think Richarlison didn't get involved when he was playing. Sometimes we don't have, but, and I'm not trying to batter Hill here, but, you know, I said at the Wolves away game when Hill came on and Lo Celso came on, I didn't feel we had that there. So yeah, there's better options today than there has been.
Rich, let's come to you. In the 19th minute, West Ham got the equaliser through Zouma. Of course, Bowen crossed it in from the corner. I'll tell you what, every single time West Ham got a corner, the away end, every person in the away end this evening just groaned, because you just know how good West Ham are with set pieces. It just seems so easy. Zouma heading home.
Yeah, I also think, like I kind of said against Luton as well, I think the away fans need to have confidence in the team when you go away, and if you haven't got confidence, it does affect the team as well if you've not got that backing. So I'm not saying it's you guys' fault, but I'm just saying that obviously if you've got that confidence going watching the team, then you at least know you can control the controllables. And you look at even Vicario's positioning after it goes in, he's actually in the net. I think the zonal marking, some of the players were very static, so static. You watch after Zouma heads or backs the ball into the net, like there's three or four players that literally are watching it go in. There's no kind of, there's no leadership in there. And we talked about leadership last year, about that we didn't have many leaders in the box. I think we need to be a lot more positive. I think we need to be a lot more aggressive. And that comes from the keeper as well, Vicario. Was wanting there, and a couple of other times as well, he was really lucky to get away with it. West Ham are dangerous, obviously, with the likes of Ward-Prowse on set pieces and Bowen. For me, I just think we need to dominate our box and not allow those opportunities, because against a better team, we could have been down 2 or 3 in that instance.
Well, after 26 minutes, Bowen had a shot at goal, comfortable for Vicario. 5 minutes later, Ange Postecoglou had his head in his hands. Johnson crossed and Timo Werner just couldn't quite connect. Josh, let me come to you on Brennan Johnson. We're seeing an improved Brennan Johnson. Is this the Brennan Johnson that and thought he was signing earlier on in the season.
He's been magnificent, hasn't he? I think whatever happens this season, we can come out of this season and say that Brennan Johnson has had a very good first year at the club. I mean, he's already, I think, what is it, 5 goals and 7 assists. I think that's a really good return for a first season. Yeah, there was a lot of pressure on him because of the price tag. And, you know, he got, you know, far worse abuse than I'm getting in the comments tonight when he had a couple of bad games. He had a bit of an injury early on as well. But, you know, he just works his socks off. And I really am seeing a player that tries so hard. And things didn't go well. And he's taken it upon himself to improve his game, to keep working hard. You know, I'm sure Richard will be able to tell you a lot more as a, you know, as an athlete. If you're in a bit of a rut, you know, the best seem to be the ones that are headstrong. And he really is showing that. And I think the way he spoke after the game just shows his maturity, shows his ambition. He was unhappy with the draw. He expects more from the team. He expects more for himself, even though I thought he played really well. So, yeah, I'm delighted with him. I think he's a real live wire. I think there's a bit of a debate amongst the fans as to whether he should be starting games or whether he should be used as an impact player. I think you've got to keep him doing what he's doing right now. On the right wing, that seems to be his position. I don't think he's having as much impact when he has started games on the left. And yeah, I'm just so excited to see what happens with him, you know, in years to come. I'm sure he's been buoyed further by that disappointment of Wales not qualifying for the Euros as well. I'm sure that, you know, has added a bit of extra spice in terms of him wanting to get the very best out of this season. But yeah, I think that's the level, both mentally and what we're seeing on the pitch, is what we want to see from new Spurs signings and from everyone on the pitch. I think he's setting a really good example at the minute.
Becky, let's come to you. After 37 minutes, West Ham had a free kick outside the box. Of course, it was that man, James Ward-Prowse, who we quite often see either assist or score against Spurs. But this time, Vicario made another fantastic save. We're used to seeing fantastic saves from Vicario, but that was another classic.
Yeah, they were. Robbie Savage was a bit harsh on TNT, and he said he thought that he should have caught it. And we were like, Jack's next to me, he's a goalie. He was like, it's absolutely pouring down, and it was a very, very wet ball. So, yeah, I think, you know, he kept it out.
That's as harsh as some of Josh's comments. Wow. Rich, let's come to you on Vicario. What have you made of Vicario so far this season?
Oh, yes. Obviously, incredible start to the season, clearly. And then obviously was found wanting with some dead ball situations. And I think also it's a little bit around the defenders need to support that as well, I feel. Sometimes if you watch, as the ball comes over, he makes that backwards movement and he finds himself either 1 foot or both feet in the goal. I think he just needs to be a bit more positive. But shot stopping, very good. Even one-on-ones, I think he kind of fills the goal really well. For me, I like it when he's got that kind of real attitude. I think I love that from players at the back to really get into the strikers, because sometimes they have it all their own way. And I think the keeper needs to put himself out a bit and really kind of be physical in the box. And I think that's his role as well. But also the other Spurs players to support him in getting those attacking players away from Vicario so he can actually be very positive with getting that ball out of the area.
The thing that annoys me about set pieces is that watching it back, and this is the Everton game and the City goal in the FA Cup, is that it always tends to be the shortest players that end up being the ones that end up because of the zonal thing. Like today, yeah. Bissouma was the person who didn't kind of follow Zuma to the back post, and then I think, you know, there's been games where it was Maddison that was ended up doing the marking, and it's that seems silly to me.
Maddison on Suchek, there's three players. As much as we can, you know, say yes, Vicario needs to be stronger, at what point is someone going to step up and say, hang on a minute, the three biggest threats are on the goalkeeper and not one centre back? Mickey van der Ven, 6'4". Yeah, at what point is one of the big boys going to go and take Zuma, going to take Antonio? West Ham are as physical as they get, you know, and Bowen is as good a set piece taker as you'll find. And there doesn't seem to be that. And I think you could probably say the same on the other end when we're attacking set pieces. There doesn't seem to be anyone wanting to get on the end of that ball. And I don't know how you guys felt, but for me, it was every time you'd see Udogie he seemed to get his head on it quite a lot of times, Udogie today. And when that ball got away by hook or by crook, it was a massive sigh of relief.
Yeah, I think also when Højbjerg came on, he was the only one that did it. I did notice twice that Højbjerg did. He was very dominant in the box and he was kind of making sure Vicario had some space. Also,
he's a proper leader.
Yeah, no, I think when we bought Madders, I was expecting to have more opportunities for our centre-backs in the box, which we haven't had. I think his impact on dead balls, especially from free kicks, hasn't been as good as I was expecting.
Well, we haven't seen one scored yet, Rich.
Well, yeah, and, yeah, from yeah, I know, but also obviously from crosses as well.
Yeah. Josh, let me come to you on the same question I asked Richard earlier about who is the best three in midfield for you? Because was it harsh on Saar dropping to the bench this evening?
I don't think it was that harsh on Saar, because I think Saar is one of those that I think he is interchangeable. And I think that if you're going to replace Saar with Bentancur, I don't think you can complain. And actually, in hindsight, I thought Bissouma had one of his best games of the season today. I thought that he was really good today. For me, the thing that I think was harsh, and it's controversial again, so I'm prepared for the comments to go at this, but I thought Gio Lo Celso had an amazing impact when he came on against Luton. He was a real game changer and he only gets 3 minutes plus stoppage time. And I'm there thinking, this guy starts for Argentina. The only reason he didn't go to the World Cup and didn't start in place of Alexis McAllister was because he picked up an injury. And you could see Lionel Messi and co with this big flag of support for him. Lo Celso is a top, top player. I'm not saying he should start over Maddison. Please don't take it the wrong way. But what I'm saying is, if it's not working, what does the guy have to do to get more minutes? That's all I'm getting at. I think.
Can I just say though, it was against Luton, and I thought they were poor. We only just beat Luton, and they were poor. So those guys came on the world
against Man City. He scored the goal against Man City. He showed up in those games.
But against Luton, he was poor. Luton were poor. Sorry, he came on. And I thought we were playing a pub team, to be honest. I thought Luton really poor. And we couldn't break them down. And we had Werner on the pitch, obviously.
We scraped a win against the pub team. Is that what you're saying, Rich?
I want to say that on the stadium, Mike, but I don't think it would have gone down too
Josh, with Lo Celso, I get exactly what you mean. I do completely understand what you mean, because I think that he should have probably been given more game time this evening, you know, not coming off the bench after 90 minutes. But as a Spurs fan, I am very, very frustrated with Lo Celso and have been over the years that, you know, he's cost so much money. What has he delivered? You know, when you think about him and Tanguy Ndombele, £100 million between the two. And I know that a lot of Spurs fans and a lot of people that come on this podcast week in, week out, and we debate this, you know, all the time about, you know, Spurs not spending big money. You know, that is proof in the pudding that, you know, it's not all about spending money. It's about, you know, decent recruitment. Because Lo Celso, you know, when you think about his Spurs career, give me the highlights.
Well, I think what's difficult is this. He came in at a time of real chop and change at the club. We had Mourinho, we had Ryan Mason and Nuno and Ryan Mason again. And then, you know, now Ange Postecoglou, and you know, obviously a bit of Poch in there as well. I just think, you know, the problem we've got is that he's had injuries, which hasn't helped him, and he's had a lot of chop and change, different systems, and you know, he seems to have been at the club at a time where someone else was preferred. And I think that yes, he has to take responsibility when he has had his chance. He's not taken it as well as I think we'd all like. However, I think it seems to be the case that whenever he does get himself fit, there's someone playing there and he's not given the minutes by whichever manager. And I suppose the thing that I say to that is, well, he starts and he is one of the most important players for the world champions. There's a reason that that is. He went on loan to Villarreal and absolutely smashed it. And so I'm looking at, you know, Lo Celso, and I'm thinking that, I'm not saying he should start over Maddison at all, but I see a real quality player that I don't think perhaps the fan base appreciates as much as maybe we should. A player that still has more to give. But also one that if I was him, I'd be probably quite frustrated and looking to leave the club because, you know, he's far too good to be sat on the bench at Spurs when he could go to La Liga or go to wherever and probably play week in, week out and have a real impact. It's just been one of those things that I guess it's for lots of different reasons hasn't worked. I think the price tag makes everything worse. That's for sure. But I just think that, you know, someone put in the comments, I'm trying to find that comment. Someone said that getting the best out of Lo Celso is the final piece of the jigsaw. And I think the last part of the jigsaw, it was Inner Hype that said that. You know,
We've been waiting a long time though, Josh. And I think sometimes with players like this, it's about grabbing opportunities. And I've got to say, I know a lot of people may disagree, and I know you will certainly disagree, but I think it's probably time that the club and Lo Celso probably parted company and he moved on. And I think that, you know, we will then invest that money into a player that Ange will want to use and can use for the future. And I think that Lo Celso will probably be better off at another club to get regular game time because perhaps he won't get it at Spurs.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think it's best for the player and best for the club at this point. But I still think there's a really top quality player there. And I think that it's going to be a sad moment because I think there was a real top player that we never really got the best out of. And I think he'll show his quality elsewhere.
Becky, let's come to you. At half-time, of course, it was 1-1. 3 minutes into the second half, Vigario made a save. 2 minutes later, West Ham shot over the bar. And then after 53 minutes, Johnson crossed to Heung-min Son. He got a slight touch, but it went wide. Becky, what have you made of Brennan Johnson? Because, of course, earlier on this season, he's had a lot of criticism from a lot of Spurs fans. But these last few weeks, he's been turning it on.
Spurs fans. Yeah, I think a lot of people haven't seen him in the flesh. I think I've said on the show here that he was possibly the early injury in the Arsenal game. I think set him back a bit. He then, of course, got injured in the Forest game. I think that kind of stop-starty kind of nature. And then we had all of the injuries and he was playing full matches when he was probably playing for an injury or it wasn't what he needed at that stage in his Spurs career. I think I think... depending on the opposition, sometimes he is better starting and sometimes he is better coming on. We saw at Palace, you know, the left back struggled so much, you know, Kulusevski almost kind of wore him out and then Johnson came on to see him off. And I think that when it works really, really well. So I think he's been brilliant. I think it's a bit like what you're saying then about Lo Celso. I think because he costs quite a little bit, it's like Richarlison. I think people over criticise him because of the price, which is why it seems odd that we're criticising Werner when he's only 17 million euros. I just think that, you know, he's a young player. He's an international. You know, he seems to want to give his all. He seems like he wants someone who wants to learn about what he's got to do. And, you know, he's going to learn from Ange. And I just think he's great. And I just think, you know, he's got so much more to give. But yeah, you know, it's like all of them, you know, it's still a new system. It's still a new way of playing. And Ange keeps telling us to kind of, you know, remember that, and you know we could be in Champions League this year when it's still a first stage in our sort of, you know, it's such a change and the whole kind of background of the club. And I just, yeah, but going back to Johnson, I think he's been great, and I'm you know, I think those people that criticised him, you know, there's a lot of people kind of going back and taking a hard look at themselves really, because you know he's doing what he's being asked to do, and he's, you know, the assists that he's made this year, let alone the goals that he's had. You know, when it, like me and Jackson on Saturday, when Spurs play quick for that kind of 10 minutes that we seem to see each game, it's fantastic to watch and it just looks undefendable. And Johnson is just really great at that. And I think going back to what we were saying about Sonny, you know, when you watch Sonny, particularly when you're there live and you watch the space that Sonny makes, when that ball goes across to that kind of corridor of uncertainty, Sonny's usually pulled back to the edge of the 6-yard box. So, you know, the defenders are then pulled out because of that. And I think, you know, that takes a lot of practice. And I think with another summer, you know, Johnson's not going to go into the Euros now. I just think it's going to continue to help his development.
Rich, let's come to you. After 55 minutes, Bissouma shot wide. Josh said earlier that he thinks that Bissouma had one of his best games in a Spurs shirt this evening. What did you make of his performance? And also, what did you make of James Maddison's performance? Because when you think back earlier in the season, you know, sitting top of the Premier League after 10 games, Bissouma and Maddison were two of our best players. What have you made of them lately?
Yeah, I thought against Luton, Bissouma, yeah, he was just a little bit lethargic. He had his socks around his ankles. He just wasn't, I don't think he was like, his head was in the, I think he was still away with the international team. I just felt he was very lethargic. We didn't really have his head in the game. Today was better. I wouldn't say this has been his best game, but he was better today. Maddison, he was playing well when he was taken off. I think that was a wrong decision. I think obviously that interlinking play that he has, Maddison, with Sonny, I think sometimes he comes a little bit too deep with a ball. I want to see him further up the pitch, having more of an impact there. Like, yes, playing through the lines is great, but also he can run with the ball. He can slide people in. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Josh, let's come to you. 5 minutes later, at the hour mark, West Ham had a chance, of course. James Maddison went down at the edge of the box and then the ball went forward. Antonio shot, Vicario end up saving. What did you make of that incident?
It was just a very poor refereeing decision. It was just, I mean, I don't know if you guys do this, but I've started to, like, sort of in my head play a bit bingo with myself. It's probably quite sad saying that, but I play sort of referee bingo. When is the mistake going to come? When is the awful decision going to take place? And, you know, I'm sure if it had gone in the back of the net, if it wasn't such an awful effort in the end, I would have had a look and corrected the decision. But it's quite frustrating in a way that he didn't put it in the back of the net, because that's prime James Maddison free kick territory.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's a real opportunity missed. But yeah, it was annoying. It looked rough at first glance, and then the replay just confirmed it. I think I was sort of questioning a few times, actually. It was Spurs players that got booked exclusively tonight, I think, wasn't it? I can't remember if a West Ham player did get booked in the end. But a lot of similar challenges from West Ham players going unpunished. I'm not sure. I'm not saying it was a conspiracy or anything like that, but it was just curious to see that the referee seemed to let a lot go tonight. But then towards the end of the game, he showed one yellow card. I think it was to Bentancur, and then he kind of just got a bit card happy towards the end.
After 64 minutes, Brennan Johnson had a chance, didn't quite shoot quickly enough. A minute later, Heung-min Son shot over the bar. After 69 minutes, Pedro Porro shot at the goalkeeper, comfortable for Fabianski. And then on the 70-minute mark, Tottenham made two subs, Saar and Kulusevski coming on for Bentancur and Maddison. Becky, what were you thinking at this stage? 20 minutes to go, Ange makes a couple of subs.
Yeah, and I kind of said it earlier on in the show, didn't I? I think possibly is Maddison still not match fit? And, you know, because we noticed he came off on Saturday and went straight down the tunnel. So I was quite surprised to be seen in the starting lineup, to be honest. I thought he had a knock. So is that possibly why he was taken off? But like I alluded to before, I think our kind of creativity that we did have did go there. I was fully expecting Bissouma to go off. So when they were saying that the subs were coming on, I was like, oh, Bissouma's going to go off. And I think, yeah, like, I agree. I think Bissouma kind of did grow into the game, and particularly with the booking. And interestingly, it was the same ref that sent him off, wasn't it, in the Luton game? I think it needed it. But again, we didn't kind of kick on, and it didn't kind of change the urgency a great deal, which was a shame, really, because we criticised, I think, at the Fulham game that Ange didn't make the subs early enough. So maybe 70 minutes was timely. It just didn't seem to make a great deal of difference. Like I said, Kulusevski going into the middle didn't really make a great deal of difference. You noticed that it was a drop-off compared to Maddison being in that position. And then when then Richarlison comes on and Saar goes out left, it's even less.
Becky, where is Kulusevski's best position, in your opinion?
Well, he's played the most, hasn't he, on the right wing, which is the most that we've seen him play. He only played really in the 10 position when Maddison was injured. But then I said this to Jack tonight, that obviously I'm noticing a lot of criticism of Kulusevski. I've said on here or that all the time before is that I thought possibly he was carrying an injury because there was that kind of that hesitancy is there. But he scored at Forest whilst playing in Maddison's position. So when it works, again, it works. He had a great game at City. You know, Kulusevski's had some fantastic games this season. It's just frustrating that after 5 minutes a day, Werner can get that ball across, whereas Kulusevski will cut inside. So to see him play in the number 10 position today, I was quite hopeful that we would see an impact, and unfortunately it didn't really happen.
Rich, let's come to you. When we talk about impact from the sub-bench, of course, after 82 minutes, Werner and Basuma went off, Højbjerg and Richarlison came on, and then the 90th minute, Lo Celso coming on, Brendan Johnson going off. What did you make of Andrew's subs this evening?
Yeah, I think Johnson should have gone off slightly earlier as well. He definitely ran out of gas towards the end. And he has been doing that after probably about 60 or 70 minutes, kind of like drifting out of the game. So hence the reason why I think Andrew's been using him as an impact player off the bench. Regarding your question regarding the subs, impact-wise, I think Højbjerg came on, was putting himself out about. I think he was trying to direct the traffic forwards. You all right, mate? I thought you were falling down then. One of those Hammers fans is kicking you around a bit. Richarlison, I want to see more of him. I want to see more of him in the game. And I think that was something for me. I'd rather have him come on around 70 minutes and have a real good go. And Sonny kind of go out wide instead of Werner and Richarlison go down the middle.
Hans Postecoglou in his press conference just said, I thought it was better than Fulham, which we didn't handle well. I thought Basuma was outstanding. So, of course, Ange completely agrees with you, Josh, about Basuma's performance. Of course, Spurs did have a chance to win it in the 94th minute. Your doggy had a chance, but of course it didn't go in. The game finished 1-1. Next up, Nottingham Forest on Sunday. Of course, this game has been rearranged. It was due to be played on the Monday night. I know, Becky, we've spoken about this at length. Of course, it has been moved back to the Sunday, 6 p.m. kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Josh, of course, Nuno Espirito Santo will be returning to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Is he making Nottingham Forest proud? Because he certainly didn't make us proud.
I think he's doing an all right job there. He's doing a pretty solid job. I think he'll keep them up. I'm absolutely terrified because he plays, you know, what was that comment that was made about West Ham, anti-football like Wimbledon? I think Nuno is that on steroids. So we fully are going to get the same old 10 men behind the ball, frustrate the life out of us. Hopefully we get, you know, 10 minutes of brilliance at some point in the game, possibly another frustrating 0-0 first half, and win 2-1 in stoppage time, most probably. So, yeah, I think he's doing a good job.
Games like this, Josh, are so important, aren't they, to win? I know it's a silly statement or a silly comment, you know, about, you know, winning. You know, you've got to try and win every single game in the Premier League. But Nottingham Forest at home, you know, they're fighting for, you know, to stay up in the Premier League. This is a must-win game for us.
They need all the points they can take. So it's going to be a very difficult game. But so do we, if we want to. You know, I'm looking at this and I know that I think we'll get Champions League football. I said at the start of the season, I think we'll finish fifth. Look where we're at now. You know, I think that looking at this now with Villa to go to City tomorrow and us still with Chelsea in hand, you know, I want to see us finish fourth because I think truly believe we're a better team than Villa. And we're not going to do that if we can't beat Forest at home. It's going to be tough. But, you know, I'm just really praying that it all comes together. I mean, the first 15 minutes or so of that game was some of the best football I've seen this season. And we do get spells like that. I thought the way we started the game today was incredible. If we can sustain a performance like that, now we've got a bit more rest until Sunday. then fingers crossed. But yeah, I have a feeling, you know, it's going to be tough. And for me, results the most important thing.
Well, of course, Nottingham Forest beat Fulham 3-1 at the City Ground this evening. They are now unbeaten in their last three Premier League games. The previous two draws against Crystal Palace and Luton, 1-1 in both matches. Before that, they'd lost four games on the trot against Brighton, Liverpool, Manchester United and Aston Villa. Becky, how do you see this game going on Sunday?
I'm always hopeful when we're at home, but I think I agree with Josh. I think, you know, they're gonna kind of be another low block team that we're gonna have to kind of work our way around. But I would imagine that, like Luton, really the fitness levels hopefully will come through at the end and we will score and win. But you know, it's one of them. It's funny listening, and we seem to say every game is a must win game for Spurs, because we're not that kind of side that can kind of lose a couple of games and we'll be okay. It seems like every season we have to win, almost try to go to win every game. And if we don't, it kind of does determine it. The good thing about listening to different fixtures and things is I still think that we will get more points than United and we may catch Villa. So really, all we've got to do is outdo Villa and United's results. And Villa are playing City tomorrow and United are playing Chelsea. So we may, you know, it may not be as bad this one all today. But yeah, I think, games at home are always confident of. Just reading more of the comments about, you know, people saying about, you know, the players. I think Romero said after the Luton game that he had jet lag and, yeah, you know, a little bit more rest, back at home, a kind of sort of night game-ish, although it won't really be dark now at 6 o'clock, will it? I think possibly he may change the side again. I think now we've got people fit, it kind of, that does freshen things up a little bit, isn't it? And we can kind of, we aren't playing that same team every game because of injuries. So I think that may have an impact. And then, yeah, like I said, after the Luton game, you know, if we don't win these type of games against the so-called worser teams, then we don't deserve to be in the Champions League. So really, you know, you win your homes and that's where we get from.
Rich, let's come to you. What sort of reaction do you think Nuno Espirito Santo will get from the Spurs fans?
An interesting one for sure. I think Forest at home are different than Forest away for sure. Hardly ever pick up a lot of points away from home. I think, like you're saying, they will sit in. We will break them down. I think they'll be, we'll just wear them down. They'll have to do so much work to chase the ball. It'd be a difficult game, I think, but every game, like in the comments, and a lot of people have said, every game in the Premier League is difficult, especially this time of season where you are either fighting for Europe or the other teams are fighting relegation. It's the teams in the middle that have got nothing to play for, the teams that normally can kind of beat easily, where I think the relegation threatened sides are as dangerous as the ones that are fighting for Europe, for sure. I think we'll win. I expect a better game, better controlled game. I think Richarlison might play more of an active role in the game, whether he starts or not, I'm not sure.
Well, let's do the score predictions for Sunday's game against Forest. I'll kick it off. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Spurs win. Rich, what are you going for?
2-0.
Josh?
2-1.
Becky?
I was going to say 2-1 as well, but I'll say 3-1. We don't keep clean sheets. It's not going to be a nil.
Only two clean sheets in the last 21 Premier League games for Spurs. An interesting stat. Thanks for watching, everybody. Nearly 2,000 people have been watching this throughout the whole of the stream. So thank you so much for all of your support and thanks for all of your comments. I know Josh certainly got the comments section going this evening. Josh, I should have said, actually, this is our third week on the trot that we have been the number one football podcast in South Korea. It's going to be interesting to see if we're number one next week in South Korea after your comments about Heung-min Son.
I do love him, though. I want people to know I absolutely adore Son. It's just, you know, you start asking questions of a player when, you know, they get a bit older and all of that sort of stuff. I think he's been a brilliant servant to the club and I think he is a good captain. It's just, you know, frustrating night. Bit of emotion after the game and I'll probably wake up regretting some of my comments in the morning.
I think, Josh, in the short time that he's been captain, he's a better captain than Lloris was. I know what you were saying before about Kane was the one doing the talking to the referee, but I just felt that you didn't really, you never heard Lloris. You never heard him shouting at them. You know, I said this before, Dyer was the one that was often shouting things. It wasn't Lloris. So
that's why I referred to Kane as the captain, because Kane was the one that was taking it upon himself to lead the team. We didn't get that from Lloris. And in all but name, that is exactly what Harry Kane did.
I think it's fair to say as well, Becky, that I think that me personally, I've seen Vicario talk to his defence and talk to players more than Lloris.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, definitely. In just a short time, which is incredible. Josh, last question for you. Of course, the Daily Mail reported earlier today about Alexander Isak, £100 million. Could this really happen?
Stinks. Absolutely stinks. I must say, we attributed the story to The Sun, which is where it originally came from. So I think that says what you need to know. £100 million in Spurs in a transfer. I'll be falling off my chair and getting a Heung-min Son tattoo on in an intimate place if we sign a player for £100 million. I don't think it's going to happen, as much as I would love to see it. And we can shake hands on that, because that's how confident I am. We will not sign any player for £100 million plus this summer.
Well, Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back. Thanks so much for all of your input. What are you up to at the moment? Where can people find you?
At Josh Hughes TV on Twitter, mainly doing spaces and YouTube stuff like this.
Well, I look forward to having you back on very soon. Thank you so much. And pleasure. Becky, where can people find you? Thanks so much for coming back on.
All right, thanks for having me. At the ground, if you see us, I always say this, come and say hello. Or if you see us in the kitchen, I'll see you beforehand. And then I'll be back on here after the Newcastle game, because last year put me off. I'm not going to Newcastle this year. I have turned down tickets. I said I felt sorry for Spurs fans. They've had the awful view at West Ham, and then Newcastle as the consecutive away games. We've kind of been done with the ways, really. But yeah, I'll be back on that show. But yeah, thanks for having me. Feel a bit better about it now. Game's gone. Let's move to Forest.
Becky, I saw your tweet as well, bigging up Travel Lodge for changing your hotel.
Yeah, fair due to them. I just sent them a DM, I think it was on Thursday night, and I was on the show, wasn't I? That's right. And just left it and thought, after the bank holiday, I'll contact them on Tuesday. And then when we stopped at the services of coming back from Luton, I'd seen that they'd said, yep, we've moved it back. And so I then tweeted it, because I thought, you know, sometimes we always criticise bad customer service, don't we? And actually I you know, benefited from it, so I did sort of share that. But yeah, you can still go now.
Good work, Travel Lodge. Richard, thank you so much for coming back, and you're training very, very hard at the moment for the London Marathon.
Yeah, a couple of weeks left and then I'll be running on the streets of London. So yeah, like last year, I'll do. Any Spurs fans, give me some support, because I know I get some Arsenal fans giving me some abuse like I did last year too.
Will you be wearing a Spurs shirt for it?
No, I won't be wearing a Spurs shirt. No, you can't. I'm a proper marathon runner. You can't wear a Spurs shirt running a marathon. Chase nipples for one, anyway.
Well, I'll be at the London Marathon as well, Rich, but I'll be having dinner with you, so I won't be running it.
Awesome, as long as you're paying.
Well, Rich, thanks so much. Where can people find you?
Marathon Champ, yeah, on X or Instagram or wherever. But yeah, everybody subscribe and obviously follow Chris and make sure you
get some. Thank you so much. Well, Richard, Becky, Josh, thanks so much for your time this evening. I'm now going to get the last train home. I hope that wasn't it, what you just heard. So thanks so much for watching, everybody. Thanks for all of your input on the show. And as I said to Josh, we are number one football podcast in South Korea this week, and number two in Colombia. That is a first. So thank you so much for all of your support, and thanks for watching this and listening to this podcast all around the world. The support is incredible, and we will see you again on Sunday after hopefully Spurs have beaten Nuno Espirito Santo's Nottingham Forest. Until the next time, come on you Spurs.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.